Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 319 for September 27th, 2017, Serving the Red Cross. Good evening. Welcome to another exciting episode of Ham Nation. I'm George, W5JDX. Bob Heil is out this week. He's in Milwaukee, I believe, at the Superfest up there. Gordo can give us more details on that in just a moment. Got a fun show lined up tonight. We've got several folks with us, and some updates on what Val is up to as well. She's not with us tonight, but she is, I guess she's still in the country, but we'll learn more in just a minute. Here is our buddy just to the south of me, Don Wilbanks. Hi, Don.
Hey, George, how are you? We've got a big show tonight. Yeah, Val is on her way to what I believe will be the adventure of a lifetime, and this is the kind of stuff that you definitely will want to tell your grandkids and great-grandkids, because to my knowledge, it's one of the first times that amateur radio has been called out on a mission like this, and she's going to be part of it. Just absolutely amazing. I cannot wait to see how this all turns out. She's definitely going to be doing God's work, and I don't want to spoil the surprise, but more info on that. Also, we'll have all the news of the week with Amateur Radio Newsline and Dr. Tamitha Scove by video with us tonight as well, George.
Okay, Don. Sounds great. We'll be looking forward to that. And also, we've got a face we haven't seen in a few episodes now, but he's back with us tonight. It's good to see you again, Dale.
Hey, George. Thanks a lot. It is good to be back. We've got a lot of good videos here tonight. Gentlemen with some information about Smith charts and a real treat from a grandson of a ham out west, a seven-year-old describing the solar eclipse and a ham radio outing all at the same time, and it's a real doozy. So I hope you'll enjoy it there a little later here on Ham Nation. George?
Okay, Dale, that sounds like a lot of fun, too. And speaking of fun, well, we've got Gordo standing by here with his expensive telescopic devices. No, those are glasses, aren't they, Gordo?
You got it, George. Hey, this weekend, it's the Cuyahoga Falls Amateur Radio Club. They're starting their ham radio classes once again. Great work. This weekend, Friday and Saturday, I think both of you are going to be there, Don and George, the MFJ open house and all you can eat on Saturday at noon. Saturday also in Kentucky, the Amateur Radio Communication Service in Paintsville, Kentucky, having a big get-together. And this Saturday in Fargo, North Dakota, they're having their once-a-year big ham radio get-together. They invited me up there, but I couldn't find my fur jacket, but they said I wouldn't need it. But anyway, best success, all of you organizations. Right now, ham radio is the focus, especially when it comes to getting the messages through. And I encourage all of you, when you are seeing the video that Val was able to get from one of the TV stations, as well as my short shots, be thinking about what you're going to say when someone knocks on your door, seeing all that aluminum on the roof, going, how can I get a message to loved ones in Puerto Rico? Well, here for the ham operators is your key. It is a website that is https://. Here's the copy, safeandwell.communityos, oscarsierra.org. safeandwell.communityos. hamnation.os.org. That is going to get messages from your local neighbors into the disaster scene, and they will be able to receive messages back. So thanks to the hardworking folks that keep that site up, it is working. So, Victor, if you don't mind, let's take a look and see what Val is getting ready to do as she heads off to Puerto Rico for 3 grueling weeks coming up.
It's a different kind of wave heading into Puerto Rico. Radio waves offering a means of communication in a country whose infrastructure was virtually wiped out.
For the most part, without power, without cell phone service, without internet.
Ham Radio's national headquarters in Newington is packing up gear and sending volunteers.
We're going to be deploying to Atlanta tomorrow, 20 of us ham radio operators from across the U.S.
The volunteers will be airlifted to shelters on the island where they will create vital lines of communication, powering their radios with generators, batteries, even the sun.
It's so easy to throw a wire up in a tree. Hopefully there's still trees left down there. Or put up a temporary antenna, hook it up to a car battery.
Unlike cellular technology that can go down in a storm, radio signals still work.
You can, within an hour, have a full operating amateur radio station and can communicate with the world on very little power.
Their stations will transmit data between shelters and to the Red Cross Safe and Well database.
You can either list yourself as being safe and well, or you can inquire about loved ones.
Volunteers like Valerie all answered a call from the National Association of Amateur Radio, put out to its 750,000 U.S. licensees.
We needed 50 volunteers. We received 350 replies to our first call.
The volunteers will be in Puerto Rico for 3 weeks, offering their expertise to try and reconnect loved ones separated in the storm.
It's so good for your soul to be able to do something to help people.
So do know that Valerie is on her way down there to Puerto Rico. And here's some short shots to be thinking about in case you should get called out. Maybe not down to Puerto Rico, but for a local emergency. So, Victor, let's go ahead and roll those short shots. The American Radio Relay League is the organization behind the Amateur Radio Emergency Service. And the American Red Cross contacted the ARRL saying we need about 50 trained radio operators that you have courses for and that you know will serve us well. So that's where Valerie is headed. And she's going to be taking part in emergency communications. We encourage all of you that if you're taking part in emergency communications, be sure that you're well-dressed and you've got a good-looking portable station. And a lot of organizations do training well ahead of time before a potential deployment. And here is the group out of San Bernardino. And they're testing all of their equipment out at Quartzsite, Arizona, where there's absolutely no alternating current power. The amateur radio operators that are going to be down in Puerto Rico that are leaving probably tomorrow midday on behalf of the ARRL and the American Red Cross, they're going to be doing WinLink and several other digital modes. So if you are a good WinLink operator and you get deployed, make sure that you bring along either your own laptop or be prepared to be learning the nuances of each laptop that may be in front of you. The ARRL has a great set of emergency comm units that they have sent down, and they were spread thin. And behind all of those radios are the manufacturers, Kenwood, Yaesu, ICOM, Alinco, PowerWorks, and a host of others that have donated the equipment free of charge for the ARRL to send out. So know that it's the ham radio manufacturers behind each of the pieces of equipment. Likely, Valerie's going to be operating off of both batteries as well as generators. Keep in mind that generators create a lot of RF, and there'll be a lot of comms down there on 75 meters as well as 40 meters. And those are bands that generators really attack. And here's one that you wouldn't think of. These are the small battery chargers that are tied into the battery systems. These are AC chargers. They make a ton of noise. So if you have at your emergency operation set up a ton of noise, take a look and see whether or not it's the battery charging system. They really, the switchers really make a lot of noise. I usually bring my own gear, but there may be limitations on what they can bring down. I keep everything in a small grab-and-go case with wheels because you never know where you need to wheel. And the TSA says that keep in mind that an 8-amp-hour or a 12-amp-hour pair of batteries, such as the BioNO batteries, they're going to be permitted, but not in your checked baggage, but rather in your carry-aboard. So they limit mainly to about 100 watts of battery capacity, but generally an 8-amp or a 12-amp BioNO battery or a lithium iron phosphate battery is what they'll allow to be brought on board the aircraft. All of you should remember that shares is a very important part of amateur communications, and know that the shares operation may use commercial type equipment. So be prepared that if you're taking a deployment, that you're ready to learn about a new radio that you've never seen before. Do know that shares, as well as the Salvation Army, along with all of the other radio services, are doing a great job. Part of the emergency pack that the League is sending down will be dipole antennas. The off-center fed dipole works on multiple bands. And if you've got a built-in tuner in your equipment that they're sending down as well, or maybe equipment that you're bringing, you're going to be in great shape. And here you see just a simple little offset dipole, and we strung it up, and it reached out very well skywave. But keep in mind, 75 meters and 40 meters are going to be pretty long on each leg. So wind your own little RF choke out of coax, or put on a EMI-type filter to keep the coax cool. And that way you won't be introducing RF that could launch a lot of repeaters, make that a lot of computers in the EOC operating area. And these are all things that we just discover when we get on scene. Lots of manufacturers with portable packs. Here's the AC power supply. I prefer to go to a battery, though, especially the BioNO, because the battery, I know I can check the voltage and make sure that that battery is still maintaining. Be prepared that you need to stand out as a professional communicator. Here are two communicators with their very reflective vests. Notice that each one has little earphones, not for HF, but the earphones are for the VHF and UHF that we understand is taking a big part of communications for local comms in Puerto Rico. And one other thing is make sure that if you're going to be deployed possibly in a mobile unit to look at disaster areas to provide comms back to the shelter, got a hard hat and safety glasses and the proper footwear to go along with it. So you've got to be prepared for almost anything. And you may not be the one passing the traffic, but rather you may be assigned to radios. Well, hey, no problem. I'm good on radios. But wait a minute. These are Red Cross radios that may be on a different frequency than ham radios. In fact, the Red Cross has a lot of their own VHF and UHF radios, some digital radios. So be prepared that you need to understand them, and you better bring a frequency counter if you're going on a deployment. The frequency counter is going to be able to give you a readout as to what's where. No, I don't think you'll need the big heavy bird watt meter nor the deviation meter, but part of your arsenal of gear that you're going to bring to a deployment would be a simple volt ohm meter. And double check that the battery inside that meter is good to go. So knowing what frequency people are on, you can tell it's a little $79 frequency counter I got Main Trading, and it works great. Even tells me the CTCSS tone as well. Satellite communications, I understand, in Puerto Rico are sometimes filled with too many stations trying to get up by satellite. That is on the commercial Iridium satellite or some of the Globalstar satellites. However, do know that the American Red Cross has their own satellite system, and maybe you're going to be sitting down as a deployed radio operator to that Red Cross station operating via their satellite service. Well, it's not owned by the Red Cross, but they're taking advantage of it. And UCW ops, But I understood last night hearing one of the nets, there's plenty of CW health and welfare traffic going out. And speaking of headphones, these are great for high frequency. These are the Heil Pro 8 headphones. They are terrific because on an HF radio, they can feed back to your own ears the audio that you're speaking into the microphone. But on VHF and UHF, you're going to find them probably not as useful because you're not able to hear yourself speak over the radio because your audio has no way of coming back into your earphones on most VHF or UHF units. It's called the monitor function. And again, there's those Biono batteries. And we understand a lot of the volunteers working with the ARRL and the American Red Cross are taking them down there because they're certified. They have a no short circuit in them. And the Biono batteries charge up quite nicely. All of you should take along a little voltmeter to see what's feeding your particular ham radio gear. And there's some great digital ones. But the Biono lithium iron, not ion, but iron phosphate batteries, they're lightweight. They'll pass the FAA inspection at TSA. About 12 amp hours is the most you're going to get. And a small little solar panel like this on your deployment is going to do well. Slightly charge them up. No, if you've got a big panel like this, yeah, tap into that. But remember, on the Biono batteries, they've got a fail-safe circuit that if you hit them with more than 14.8 volts, they trip out of line, and you've got to bring them back up to about 14.5 volts with another source to get it to trip back on again. That's one of the protective circuits for those great batteries. And that's that protective circuit that does its thing. And there's the insides of a lithium iron phosphate Biono battery. They're really great. They've worked out well. And from what we understand, Valerie's going to be doing a lot of WinLink or some of the other digital modes. This is MT63. This is what we use with the Coast Guard Auxiliary in passing traffic. Dale knows all about that as well. So for those of you in the digital, believe me, it's big. And finally, Anderson connectors. Yeah, we almost take them for granted, and hopefully all of the league's radios terminate to Andersons. These are tired. These barely will make the grade. And Anderson connectors that have been exposed to either too much current or a meltdown like this, they are unusable. So as a deployed emergency communicator, take a look at where the Andersons plug into. And I've got a long Anderson strip from one of the manufacturers, and only about half of the Anderson connectors off the circuit board work because, as you see by that hole, the Andersons simply work loose and pull right out of the circuit board. So double check that you've got the right Anderson and the right Anderson connection multi-circuit board where all the connections are nice and tight, and have your Anderson tool, because it might be up to you to fix things up. So these are some of the lessons that we're all going to learn when we hear more about Valerie's conquest down there. And we certainly salute those ham radio operators, members of ARES, or RACES, or individual operations such as our own California Rescue. We applaud you for taking up 2 and 3 weeks out of your time to go down there and help our neighbors in Puerto Rico. With all the cellular towers down and with so much infrastructure down, truly it's going to be the ham radio operators that are going to bring messages back to the local Red Cross EOC, and they'll get them on to many of the nets so that folks up here will be able to go to some of these sites and type in the words to get to look up colleagues down there. Again, it's safeandwell.communityos.org. Because when someone knocks on your door as a recognized ham radio operator, you don't want to tell your neighbors, no, they're only taking messages out of the area. They're going to shake their heads going, you're no good at all. So as a ham radio operator, take their information and then you log on to that website. And that way you'll be able to hopefully get an answer that the folks down there have checked in and that they are safe and well. So that's my story at this end. And again, we salute those, especially Valerie from our own team going down to Puerto Rico to provide much needed communications. So now we're going to go up to Don. And Don, I believe it's your turn to talk. Here's Don.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, our friend Andy is going to Puerto Rico as well. So Val and Andy are going, and as well as 48 other just amazing individuals to go and help out. And, man, our hats are off to them. It's not everybody that can take 3 weeks out of their life to go down there and do that. And it's God's work. Absolutely God's work. Well, let's talk about DX Engineering because they're helping us bring you Ham Nation tonight. Also, WTWW Shortwave helping us bring you Ham Nation on the big shortwave on the 5085 and 12.105. So if you've got anything ham radio related, man, get that to WTWW email at WTWW.us, and they'll for sure get it on the air for you. That's a great resource for anything ham radio related. Another great resource for everything ham radio related is this catalog right here. That is the DX Engineering catalog, and having the right equipment, and this thing is just chock full of the right equipment, having the right stuff in your shack can give you an edge during contesting. Now, where will your station rank? Well, DX Engineering has what you need to help you come out on top. You're looking to upgrade your amplifier for better contesting performance. The DX Engineering lineup of HF linear amps is quite comprehensive and in a wide range of prices. Get the power boost and just the right features for a stellar contesting station from brands including AECOM, RM Italy, Yaesu, ICOM, and Ameritron. A range of coverage and power options are available. From 600-watt PEP all the way up to the full legal limit, 1,500-watt continuous power, providing the punch to operate from 160 right on through 6. Some features include automatic tuning, fully automatic tuning, lightning-quick band switching, digital controls, high-resolution color displays, built-in antenna switches, and that just barely scratches the surface of what DX Engineering has on the amplifier range. Clear sound, Gordon mentioned this, comfort, noise-canceling abilities, the ideal headset will give that to you for intense contesting all-nighters and more, just in standard operating, too. That headset is everything. And at DX Engineering, you'll find headsets from leading brands like Heil Sound, Prime, Yaesu, and Kenwood. Enjoy beautifully articulate audio and stay in the action longer with these features, fully padded earpieces, lightweight designs, dynamic microphones, audio balance controls, phase reversal switches to dig out weak signals. If you've never used a headset that you can phase reverse from one ear cup to the other, you have not used a headset. Just an absolutely amazing feature. Integrated push-to-talk switches, specially tuned mic elements, passive noise canceling, and so much more. It's all at DX Engineering. Upgrade your receive performance with these products exclusively available from DX Engineering. The Hi-Z antenna. Hi-Z antenna's high-performance HF directional receive arrays work exceptionally well on the low bands. They're perfect for contesting, plus the compact arrays won't take up much space on your lot. Choose from 3, 4, and 8 element arrays, providing exceptional receive capabilities and proven performance. Also available Hi-Z preamps, filters, and transformers. And the rugged, easy-to-mount RF Pro 1B active magnetic loop antenna is designed for low-noise reception of signals from 100 kilohertz all the way up to 30 megahertz. They'll let you null out interfering noise and signals. Only 38 inches in diameter, this RF Pro 1B requires no manual tuning. Its low noise preamp gives maximum intermod distortion minimum intermodulation distortion in the presence of very high level signals. It's a great piece. You're going to love it. You need it. DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped the same day. With proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering truly helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at dxengineering.com/hamnation. dxengineering.com/hamnation for everything you need. And thank you so much, DX Engineering, for being a part of what we do here on Ham Nation. Now, let's check out the news of the week. And we'll get the solar update as well from Dr. T. Here is Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2082, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, September 27th, 2017. Hurricane Maria took dead aim at already hurricane-ravaged islands in the Caribbean. Particularly hard hit was Puerto Rico.
Without a doubt, the National Hurricane Center's net, along with its cousin net, the Echolink Skywarn Hurricane Net, have both been receiving more than their fair share of workouts with both of their emergency nets. According to a press conference held by Governor of Puerto Rico, he stated, quote, there may be portions of their islands that may not have electricity restored to all parts of the island for as many as 4 to 6 months from now. Volunteers are wanted and needed. However, at the request of each area that was impacted, section emergency coordinators request that you please go through your local ARES members and move up with their assistance so that they can officially direct you to areas that are specifically in need. I'm broadcast meteorologist Bobby Best, WX4ALA in Jasper, Alabama.
The Texas ham radio operator who followed Amelia Earhart's final flight route has landed in a magazine photo essay.
You may remember aviator Brian Lloyd, WB6RQN, who circumnavigated the globe in his single-engine airplane in tribute to Amelia Earhart's final flight 80 years ago, logging QSOs as he went. He's back to more earthly pursuits, at least for now, and a celebration of that two-month flight into aviation history got full display for readers of the Texas Monthly magazine. A series of photographs showcases highlights of his 28,000-mile trip, putting the spotlight on his plane, Spirit, covered in the signatures of people he met along the way. And there's a discussion of the HF radio that brought him closer to the world while he was still in the air. His next challenge, he told the magazine, is replicating the New York to Paris flight of Charles Lindbergh, a trip scrapped earlier this year on account of bad weather. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jerry Goodrich, KF5KRN.
Have you made plans for Jamboree on the Air? We're just weeks away.
This week in Radio Scouting, we're 1 month from the largest scouting activity in the world. Jamboree on the Air station registration is now active and hopping. It is imperative that if your station is going to be active for a Jamboree on the Air, you head on over to our website and follow the registration instructions. Last year, this was an issue for some, and we put together a cheat sheet with links to help you get your station successfully registered. Once you get over the hurdle of registration, we need to start reconfirming everything. You can let us know what your plans are by putting your event details into our calendar on the Scout Camps on the Air website at scota.us or drop us a note on our Facebook page. For more information on Jamboree on the Air and Radio Scouting, please visit our website at www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Bobby Best, WX4ALA, Jerry Goodrich, KF5KRN, Bill Stearns, NE4RD, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
A big corona hole has rotated into the Earth strike zone, and it's sending us some fast wind now. And you remember that nasty active region that gave us so much trouble for the emergency responders during Irma and Harvey? Well, that has survived its backside passage and is back in Earth view now. Will it still be an X-flare player? Those stories and more in the news this week. Solar activity has been pretty quiet the past couple weeks. The biggest thing we have to contend with is this huge corona hole that has now rotated into the Earth's strike zone. It's been sending us some fast wind over the past few hours, and it has bumped us up to storm levels. So we're going to have to contend with this probably for the next 24 to 48 hours until it rotates out of the Earth's strike zone. Now, the other thing is we've got region 2673. It has survived its backside passage, and here it's back into Earth view. It's been relabeled 2680. And it looks finally like it's exhausted. It fired a few solar storms on the backside of the sun, and that pretty much tuckered this little guy out. So luckily for you emergency responders to the hurricanes and the Mexico quake, it looks like you guys are getting a reprieve from this active region. It's no longer an X-flare player, and things should stay, for the moment, pretty quiet. Switching to your mFLAR threat meter, you can see that X-ray flux really began to take a dive once region 2673 went around the sun's backside around September 12th. Since then, things have been extremely quiet, pretty much flatlined, until about the 20th when that region plus another couple regions started showing up back on Earth's side again. And so the solar flux has gone up, and we're not seeing any strong flares, and it looks like it's going to stay that way. But you amateur radio operators should enjoy a little boost in propagation simply because the X-ray flux and the solar flux has risen just a little bit. Switching to your solar storm conditions, you can see the last time we actually had a decent solar storm was back in the middle of September. Since then, things have kind of hovered around unsettled conditions to even quiet conditions, and it's been like that for a while now. But then now the fast wind has hit us. You can see we're at storm levels now. We are getting aurora right now. It's been all over Canada. I'm getting field reporters contacting me and showing us beautiful pictures. It's even reached down into Washington, so even the upper tier of the United States is seeing it. And this should continue easily over the next day or two until we get out of this fast wind that's causing this storm. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are being hit by that fast wind now, and NOAA is expecting at high latitudes to have minor storm conditions with about an 80% chance of a major storm starting around the 28th. At mid-latitudes, we're only expecting minor storm conditions with about a 10% chance of a major storm on the 28th. But this should probably quiet down and move more into active conditions as we begin to move through the week, and by the time we get to the beginning of October, things should settle down quite a bit. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, region 2673, which was a huge X-flare player just a couple weeks ago, it has returned. It's been renumbered region 2682, and because it's in Earth view, we are worried a little bit about whether or not it could actually still be a source of big flares. Right now, NOAA is giving us about a 10% chance of an M-flare happening here in the next few days, and it's also connected with region 2683, and because of that, it's nice. It's actually raised the solar flux just a little bit back into the green a little bit, folks, which is wonderful for you amateur radio operators who need that extra boost in propagation right now. So enjoy this week. It doesn't look like there's any threat for radio blackouts, not at least really big ones at any rate, but hopefully this will continue easily through the next week. So the space weather this week is a little bit on the active side. We're in the middle of some fast wind right now, which is bringing us some gorgeous aurora down even to the upper tier of the United States. So your aurora photographers, get as many shots in as you can over the next few days before things begin to quiet down. Now, as far as solar flares and radio blackouts are concerned, it looks like we have a pretty low risk for those right now, even though region 2673 is back in Earth view. It's finally tuckered itself out, so it doesn't look like you emergency responders are going to have nearly the trouble that you had last time around, especially as you're trying to deal with the aftermath of the hurricanes and the quakes. So enjoy that. Enjoy good propagation on the day side. We should have that those conditions continue probably for the next couple weeks. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Awesome stuff, Dr. T. Thank you so much. Of course, you saw there on the screen. Follow her on Twitter and on Periscope. At Tamitha Scove, T-A-M-I-T-H-A-S-K-O-V. If you don't have Periscope, Periscope is a great resource where you can actually, she will go on and do live, like for an hour, hour and a half, dissertations on what's going on with solar weather. And you can actually, you can post a message back to her and she'll see it and respond to it. Periscope's amazing. Twitter, of course, she's always tweeting and check her out on spaceweatherwoman.com, her website. Just great stuff, and we're so pleased and proud to have her on as part of the Newsline team. And yes, she is studying for her ham radio ticket. You know, she's a mom, and she's got a pretty high energy job, and she's a mom and everything that goes along with that. So she's working on it as time allows. So George, I think we ought to take a break here and go see what's going on with smoke and solder. I could use a smoke.
Don, you know, it doesn't get much more high power than the sun, I don't think.
Boy, no. Hey, I got a question. Are you gonna bring a soldering iron to the MFJ thing on Saturday?
I think they've got one there.
Oh, good, because I'll need something to light my cigar with.
Right. Okay. I'm not sure that, you know, they've got one throwing flames, but
oh well, maybe. I do. I got this right here. This
okay. Oh. Well, we're going to be doing something special this weekend, aren't we, Don?
I am. I don't know about you. What are you doing?
I'm going to the MFJ 45th anniversary and ARRL Day in the Park.
Well, I thought Friday you meant something besides that, though. I mean, I thought you meant something besides that. Of course we're going. I mean, you're my date, aren't you?
Well, no, not exactly. My wife wouldn't approve, and yours probably wouldn't either. So, anyway.
My wife told me she'd rather you than anybody, so. For whatever that's worth.
Yeah. Have you ever been there before, Don?
No, because it's every 5 years, and I've wanted to do it every time they do it, and it's never happened. And this year, I have the chance, so I'm taking it. Yeah,
you are really going to enjoy it. The factory tours, free prizes, just the whole ball of wax. It's a great time.
And I'm bringing the boy. Tyler's coming with me. N7TMW will be with me, so we're bringing him too. So it's going to be fun.
Oh, fantastic. All right. We'll be looking for you then. Are you coming up for Friday or Saturday?
Saturday. I got to work Friday. I'm a working man, you know.
Yeah. Yep. That's what they say. Okay.
I'm drawing a paycheck.
Yeah. We'll see you Saturday then. And hopefully see a lot of other folks there too. It's going to be a lot of fun. Smoke and solder. Well, you know, I like to solder, of course, obviously by the title. I like to play with radios too. I like to play with computers and program, play with electronics hardware. And every now and then you get an opportunity to put all of those things together. And I really have a good time then. Not this past Huntsville Ham Fest, but the one before, there was a vendor there called Nightfire Electronics. Their website is vakits.com. They had a little DTMF decoder circuit, just a little tiny module that you could, use standalone or, you know, hook some logic chips to it or tie it to a computer or a microcontroller. And, you know, that's the kind of thing I like to do. And I finally got around to pulling it out and playing with it a little bit here, actually just last night. And here is what I've got. I decided to use an Arduino Uno with it. There's a little module right there. I've got a few LEDs connected here. And I've got my ICOM ID51 right here plugged in from the speaker out of it going into the DTMF decoder. So if I hear any DTMF tones there coming over the air, theoretically, that decoder should decode them right there. And I've written a program that's running in the Arduino there. Actually, they call it a sketch, but it's a program. That's going to decode it and do basically whatever I want it to do. Well, in this case, I've just got three LEDs here that I'm going to light up, depending on which tone is coming in. And I'll have a combination of LEDs just so I can get more indications with only three LEDs. But, you know, this kind of project right here would be fantastic for if you were going to build a repeater controller or something like that, or wanted a way to turn on and off something over the air. You could use, your radio and your DTMF keypad and control pretty much anything you wanted to. So let's take a little look here. I made up a little video, and then we'll come back and we'll try this thing out. Here's how it's all connected. We've got an Arduino Uno. Of course, this could have been almost any microcontroller. You could have used an Arduino Mega and got a lot more I/O on the unit. I've got three LEDs. I'm using 300-ohm resistors there to drop the current a little bit. On the MT-880 module, we've got Q1 through 4, as well as STQ, connected to digital I/O pins 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 on the Arduino. There's also pins to connect plus 5 and ground to the module. And at the top, there's a mini plug where you can run audio into the unit. Let's take a look at the source code. First, we've got a few declarations here at the top to declare some variables. We're going to have a byte named DTMF data, and that's where we're going to store the data that we're reading out of the DTMF module. Then we've got five integers here, which represent the five digital I/O pins on the Arduino that are connected to the DTMF module. SDQ is connected to digital pin 3, Q4 to 4, Q3 is to 5, Q2 to 6, and Q1 is connected to the digital I/O pin number 7 on the Arduino. Then we've got three integers to store, which pins are used for the three LEDs that I've connected. LED pin 1 is going to be on pin number 8, LED 2, number 9, LED 3 on digital pin number 10 on the Arduino. Next, there is a setup section of the program here. This runs anytime the Arduino is booted up. It's only used here to set the modes of the digital pins on the Arduino, whether they should be input or output. We've set all the pins that are connected to the DTMF modules to be inputs because we're wanting to read data from the DTMF module. And then we set the three pins here that are connected to our LEDs to be outputs because we want to output a signal to the LED to illuminate them. Then the next section of the program here is the loop. And this is where the program spends all its time. After it's boot up, executed the setup section, then it just runs in loop over and over again. The first thing we do is initialize that byte that we had set up to store the DTMF data. We just set it to be 0. Then we've got an if statement here. We're doing a digital read of the STQ pin, which just happened to be pin 3 back up here. Anytime that we've got a DTMF signal present at the input to the decoder, this STQ is going to be high. So we look here, we do a digital read. If STQ is equal to high, then we're going to check the four Q pins, Q1, 2, 3, and 4. These are where the four bits of our digital data are stored. If Q1 is high, then we're going to take DTMF data, which so far was set to 0, and we're going to add a 1 to it. If digital read of Q2, which was pin 6 up here, if it happens to be high, we'll add a 2 to whatever DTMF data is. If Q3 is high, we'll add a 4. And if Q4 is high, we'll add an 8. This is more or less like decoding a binary number. First place is a 1, the next one would be a 2, and then a 4, and then an 8. Let's take a look below that. Next, we're going to decode the four bits that we just came up with right here. And that's going to tell us what button was pressed on the DTMF keypad. If it's 0, then that tells us that the D was pressed on the keypad. If the case equals 1, then that tells us button number 1 was pressed. And we're going to do a digital write. LED pin 1 is output number 8. We're going to write to it a high, which will turn on that LED. If the number decoded to be 2, well, we know button 2 was pressed, so we're going to light LED pin 2 the same way. We just do a digital write to the pin number for LED 2, set it to high. If 3 was pressed, we'll light LED pin 3. If 4 was pressed, well, we're going to light two different LEDs here just so we've can see a little something different happened. LED pin 1 and 2 will set to high. If a 5 was pressed, we're going to light LEDs 1 and 3. If 6 was pressed, we'll light 2 and 3. If 7 was pressed, we're going to light all three LEDs, 1, 2, and 3. And then you can see the other cases are below here for numbers 8 on up through 0, and then the star, pound, A, B, and C. We just didn't put any code in there because I was out of LEDs. But, you know, these could be relays or they could be whatever you wanted them to be. They really wouldn't have to be any kind of physical hardware. We could have a statement right here that said, send a serial data stream out of the unit to control a rig or something. Just whatever you wanted to put in there. So we've got 16 different commands for the 16 different possible buttons on a DTMF keypad. And then below here, we've got some commands here just to turn off the three LEDs so they're ready for next time. So what happens? We go back to the top of the loop and it starts all over. We just keep repeating this loop over and over. At this link, you can find a download of the drawings and the code for this project. Now let's see if it works. Okay, and that was very simple to do there. Not much to it at all. And you don't really need a microcontroller to be able to control LEDs. But you can certainly do a lot with it. You know, that's, like I say, that would be the great beginnings of a repeater controller. You could do a lot more with it than just turn on and off things. So I do plan to do something with it, sort of serious. I just don't know what it is yet. But when I come up with it, I'll be ready to go. Because the thing worked just right out of the chute there and didn't seem to be much problem at all. And I built one, a DTMF decoder, back in 91 to remote control a dual band rig that I had to turn on and off cross band, repeat, change frequencies and such. It was a lot more difficult and took a lot more time than this did. So definitely, there's some possibilities there, and I'm going to research it further. Well, I promised we were going to see if it worked. Here we go right here. That's the unit. Got it hooked up over here, handy talkie. I'm going to take another handy talkie, and I'm going to send some codes into it. Let's send a 1. All right, lit up the red, a 2, 3, a 4, lit up 2 of them, a 5, lit up 2 others, a 6, another pair, and then a 7 lights up all of them. The rest of the buttons on the handy talkie, I don't have them programmed to do anything, but you can see, it wasn't very much code there, very simple to do, and very inexpensive and quick, too. So, possibilities are endless there. And you're not limited to just, the 16 DTMF tones that you've got on your handy talkie. You, with some slight timing code in there, you could take in multiple digits and then act upon that, an infinite number of digits, however many we want to put in there. So a lot of possibilities. I hope you enjoyed that because, I sure had fun playing with it. Last week we were here, and I asked a question that came out of Gordo's General Class Amateur Radio Guide. As a matter of fact, this one right here that Gordo has graciously marked a lot of questions for me to ask him. But however, this is not one that he marked, but it's one I ran across recently, and I wanted to bring it up. And the question was, what type of messages for a third party in another country may be transmitted by an amateur station? Was it any message as long as the amateur operator is not paid? Only messages for other licensed amateurs? Was it only messages relating to amateur radio or remarks of a personal character? Or messages relating to emergencies and disaster relief? Or any message as long as the text of the message is recorded in the station log? Well, we had a winner, and I think Gordo maybe even knows this winner here. Because I do, it's Russell Richter, WP2AHG. And, Russell?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I know him.
I know you know him. I know him, too. A nice guy. Doesn't he maybe play guitar? Haven't I seen
him? He plays a mean guitar, the best guitar.
Yep, that's what I thought. Anyway, he said third-party messages can be transmitted to other countries if there are remarks of personal character or emergency disaster communications. Congratulations, Russell. Thanks for answering that for us. And, you know, we had a number of people answer it, but it was a random drawing and Russell's number came up. Well, we're going to see that DX Engineering sends him one of those new DX Engineering silkscreen T-shirts. I was wearing one last week. Russell, they'll be getting in contact with you and getting that right out to you. And now, even though Gordo is here, I think I'm going to give away one of his books. I don't think he'll mind. But I'm not giving away this one. I'm keeping this one. This one's mine. If you'd like to win that, well, I got a simple question for you. All you got to do is answer this. What does DTMF stand for? If you think you know that, well, send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and I may be reading your answer next week. So with that, I think it's time we get a message from one of our fine sponsors.
It's September. Time to plan ahead. What is your emergency plan? September is Emergency Preparedness Month. Now is the time to review your communications plan and make sure your ICOM equipment is ready to go for any air, land, and sea situation. Communicate with the touch of your fingertips. Perfect for small spaces, the IC7100 all-mode transceiver is the ideal D-Star option to add to your communications plan. Angled control head and touchscreen for quick intuitive operation, large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and it's perfect for multi-band and all-mode communications. A compact and smart design, the ID4100A is a D-Star mobile with big rig features. Its intuitive interface, variety of operating modes, and Bluetooth capability make this the preferred D-Star option during an emergency. Integrated GPS receiver, new dot matrix display for enhanced DR mode and GPS information, terminal mode and access point mode, applications for iOS and Android devices, and a micro SD card slot for voice and data storage. Take the rugged IC2730A dual-band transceiver wherever you may be. Its large LCD screen, easy-controlled mounting and Bluetooth capability make it ideal for the ham on the go. VHF-VHF or UHF-UHF simultaneous receive. 50 watts of output on both VHF and UHF and optional VS3 Bluetooth headset. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you can win the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for September, that new radio is going to be the ICOM ID4100A dual-band transceiver. It's an entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features, built-in GPS receiver, full dot matrix display, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, and there's available Android or iOS application. Of course, it does both analog and D-Star operation. And if you hadn't registered already, well, go do it, because this radio is going to be given away on, well, the next episode of Ham Nation. So you got one final chance here to register this month and get in on the drawing. ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. Go there and register today. And we've got another ICOM radio that's being given away, and that's this one sitting right here in front of me. It's the ICOM IC7300. It's a fantastic rig. You know all about it. You've been hearing about it for the last year or so now. Software-defined radio. An excellent rig. I really can't say enough about it. It's got all the features you want and very affordably priced, too. Now, we're going to be giving that away. as well as the MFJ power supply that's right down here, the MFJ 4230 MVP, a 12-volt, 30-amp power supply. Of course, it's got the binding post on the front. It's got your power pole connectors in the rear of it here. And we're going to give away a HowlSound ProSet IC to go with this package to give you a full HF station. We're also going to include 100 foot of RG8X coax from our friends at MFJ and the new MFJ cobweb antenna, a 5-band antenna. It's very portable. As a matter of fact, we use one of those at field day this year. So great package there. Oh, and last but not least, we've got a pair of our signature Amateur Logic gold PL259s. This is genuine faux gold here. We're going to throw those in, although the coax already comes with connectors. And we wouldn't recommend that you put these on your coax anyway. You know, they're just too pretty and probably not very good for RF connections. If you want to win that, well, you can get all the details, amateurlogic.tv/contest. Go there and register now if you have not already. You'll get all the details right there on what you need to do. And we're going to be giving that away in just, 2 or 3 weeks here. It'll be the middle of October. It's our 12th anniversary celebration. So join us for that. But do register. You know, somebody's going to win this, and we can't keep it. So we're going to send it to one of our friends, and it might as well be you. And speaking of one of our friends, we've got a friend with us this week that's been away a few weeks, and we're glad to have him back on with us. It's Dale. Hi, Dale.
Hey, George. Good to see you again. I wanted to let you know I enjoyed the Arduino video there, and we've been playing around with those little miniature computers, too. At Dayton, picked up Raspberry Pi 3, and just a couple of weeks ago, fired it up, got it updated from Jesse to Sketch or something like that. Got it onto a little bitty monitor that can be run off batteries and have GQRX running on it for software-defined radio purposes. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I think might be able to build up a little portable station around that thing. Anyway, you can learn a lot about programming and about Linux and things like that with a small, inexpensive computer like the Arduino or like the Raspberry Pi. So really enjoyed that, George.
Oh, thanks, tonight, Dale. And, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, tonight we've got a DIY QRP rig. We've got an intro to Smith charts and a treat from a 7-year-old grandson. Now, let's jump into the first video. This one should get your DIY juices flowing as Ron designs and builds his first, I don't know whether it's his first or not, but his own 20-meter QRP rig. Here's Ron Taylor, WA7GIL.
Hi, I'm Ron, WA7GIL. Tonight I'd like to show you this little rig that I just recently built. I call it the QR Pico. It's 20 meters only, CW only. Tunes from about 14.0 to 14.08 megahertz. It has connections on the rear for antenna and power and on the front for paddles and headphones. Let's get into how we did it.
Draw your schematic diagram. Draw a full-scale layout of the circuit board. Start with your major components. I breadboarded the VFO to verify operation. My circuit used a lot of these small ferrites. I breadboarded the mixer circuit. And then I made a list of all the circuit elements that I'll need to build for this project. I finished the variable frequency oscillator and checked it out on the scope. Then I added an amplifier and had some harmonics, so I put in a low-pass filter. Now it's time to sketch out where all the circuit elements will go. The bandpass filter and preamp are now in place. Then comes the diode ring for the first mixer. and here it is with the two ferrites. Next, I install the post-mixer amplifier, winding one of the tiny ferrites. The crystal filter comes next, and then the IF amplifier. I breadboarded the receiver BFO, and it will go right in here. Harmonics are 40 dB down, and the BFO is installed and working very nicely. Here's another mixer, the product detector. Here's the audio preamp in and working. And finally, the audio amplifier is in, and right over here is the volume control. Now doing some DC wiring, and the open spot is where the transmitter will go. The transmitter starts with its own BFO and mixer. That's followed by the bandpass filter and preamp. I used a logic gate to square up the signal and drive the finals in class E. Here's the MOSFET finals, no heat sinks required on this one. And there's the low-pass filter to clean things up. 8 watts output, and a nice clean sine wave. The sides are on and it's ready to close up. This book, Experimental Methods in RF Design from ARRL, contains lots of useful circuit ideas and is a must-read if you want to get into serious home brewing. In the interest of full disclosure, I borrowed the final amplifier circuit for my rig from Steve Weber's Tribander, which is available from QRP Kits or Pacific Antenna.
Well, I hope that gave you some impetus of your own to try QRP homebrewing. It's a lot of fun, challenging, and not scary at all when you get used to it. And I challenge you to try it. Start with building smaller circuits like mixers and amplifiers and so forth. Pretty soon you'll have enough parts to build your own receiver. From there you build transmitters and have all kinds of fun with it. So thanks for watching. 73, I'm Ron, WA7GIL.
Well, thanks, Ron, for that do-it-yourself encouragement. I got a note from Ron this afternoon. He said he forgot to tell me that one of his first contacts with the rig was with WB9Z. That would be Jerry of Val and Jerry fame. And he did that during the North American QSO party. That was in August. And a great job on your very first video project, too, there, Ron. We appreciate it. Now let's take a look at a subject that rates 11 questions in the amateur extra class exam pool, Smith charts. Now, Jim, W9JUG, comes to the rescue with this introduction and a quick look at how to plot your SWR on a Smith chart. Could take it away there, Jim.
This is W9JUP with an introduction to Smith charts. Here we have the conventional Smith chart shown. Here we have several plots. When we can plot resistance on the horizontal line here, this is shown at A. Inductive reactance is shown on this part of the graph. And capacitive reactance is shown this part of the graph at B here. Here I have shown an antenna, right? The input impedance is 36 ohms and the XL is 40 ohms. Okay, and the transmission line is 1/2 wavelength long. Over here at figure 1B, we now normalize the impedance so we can plot it. Take the 36 ohm divided by 50 is 0.7. 40 ohms divided by 50 is 0.8. Now we're ready to make a resistance plot. Here at point D is the 0.7 ohms on this horizontal axis. And then we rotate up to and find the reactance, and that is 0.8 up here. That is shown at point F. So now we have properly plotted a impedance of 36 ohms and an inductive reactance of 40 ohms. So this completes this part. The part two will be to draw an SWR circle to determine the SWR and other parameters. Thanks for watching W9JUG. Hello, this is Jim W9JUG with part two on Swiss charts. Here we see we have drawn a circle on the graph here, and this is called an SWR circle. So we're going to plot the 36 ohms and 40 ohms of inductive reactance, and then draw a circle. So here we go. Put the pointer on A, and you just swing a circle all the way around. We've done that previously. Now we measure the radius of the circle. That's from here to here. And then we can transpose that to the chart below. And you see, if we place that on Z, and there it is, on D. C is the center point, 1 point, and D now is 2.6 to 1. So this is how we can compute the SWR and other parameters with respect to the Smith chart. This is Jim, W9JUG. Thank you for watching.
Well, thanks, Jim, for that concise look at Smith charts. If you'd like to learn more about those Smith charts, Jim has prepared two more short videos for you. Just go to YouTube, search for W9JUG. That search will take you to Jim's YouTube page where you'll find Smith chart part three and part four, and you can take a look at those videos. Well, finally, to close out tonight's segment, we have a real treat for you, I think. There's nothing better than a seven-year-old grandson describing a major astrological event and a ham radio outing. Keaton is the grandson of pretty proud Grandpa Larry, W-A-Z-B-O, W-A-7-Z-B-O. Right now, here's Keaton.
Hi, my name is Keaton. On August 21st of 2017, there was a total eclipse of the sun. As you can see in this video, the total eclipse went from Oregon over Idaho, where we were, across the United States to the East Coast. My family went to Idaho to view the total eclipse. This was our campsite on a farmer's alfalfa field. We had a lot of antennas for amateur radio and conducting a science experiment with radio waves. Lucky for us, we had clear skies to see the eclipse. We looked at the eclipse through lids, made the shadow boxes, and my dad took lots of pictures. And this is my family and me making masks so we can look at the eclipse. Before the eclipse, we made cardboard box armor for a pillow fight with my grandma. As you can see, we have lots of antennas. We conducted a science experiment with NASA to measure radio wave propagation during the eclipse. This is what it looks like when radio stations talk and listen to each other. We started looking through the glasses and noticed a little dent. That's the moon. The dent got bigger and it started getting colder and darker. And even more and more and more till it's just a little slither. It was really dark now. The moon has almost covered the sun. Here's a video of it getting darker. And then we can take our glasses off and look at the eclipse. And around the moon, there is the sun. That is the full eclipse. The reason why the sun is white and not yellow is because we're seeing the corona of the sun. It was really cool, but the full eclipse only lasted about 2 minutes, and then it became light again. Here's a video that my dad did of the sunset all the way around us. And then it started getting lighter. We are already making plans to go to Texas in 7 years to watch it again. Thank you for watching my video. Please like and subscribe. Bye.
Thanks, Keaton. Isn't that great? Larry tells us that Keaton will be a fourth generation ham very soon. And at seven, he has his own YouTube channel. He produces videos that teach kids how to build cities in Minecraft.
Wow.
Well, just in from Dan, WA5CYR, down in Tupelo, he wanted us to let everybody know that Papa Jack's Trade Day will be held at the Tupelo Amateur Radio Club October 7th. Just got an email from him earlier today or yesterday. That is going to be held at the former Tupelo Police Department. So that's Papa Jack's Trade Day in Tupelo on the 7th. That'll be the weekend after next. And that's it for tonight's video segment. It's been great to be back. If you'd like to see your videos here, well, you got to send them to us. Just send a link, though, to hamnationvideos@twit.tv, and we'll take care of it. Right now, it's time to let Amanda tie the ribbons on this episode of Ham Nation with announcements and questions from the chat room. And greetings, Amanda. How are you doing out there? Take it away.
I'm doing great, Dale, and thank you. It's so nice to have you back on tonight. And some of you, if you can see it back here, might want to know what this little globey thing is. This is a camera. Let me lift up the top here. Or Jeff, I'll have my assistant here get this for me. Thank you, assistant. We have a little Toshiba camera here. I wanted to show you what we did with this weekend. Victor, if you wouldn't mind playing that quick video. This was Bikes and Brews. We covered a 100-mile bike ride, also a 50K and 50-mile. Different this year is we added live video all over ham radio. That's right, you guys, all over ham radio. We did it with 5-gig microwave. And we started from our point there where everyone got together, where the brews were basically. And we started the microwave system there, and it went out to the Royal Gorge Bridge, which is where this is at. And if any of you guys have ever been to the Royal Gorge Bridge, you know exactly where this is and what a beautiful lookout it is. And then from there, we had to shoot it across a few different places to secure it back to Macon Plaza, where we had a plasma TV and showed it to all the spectators there waiting for their loved ones to come in. I think I explained it okay. Jeff could probably explain it a little bit better. I also have a microwave shot here, Victor, if you don't mind showing that picture real quick. Like, this just kind of shows you what it took to do the microwave get together. So we were over there in the top. Let's see, where are we? Where the white circle is by the yellow road. Not that you guys can really understand this, but this is all the different shots we had to do of microwave to get this video back to where we were at net control, basically the command center. And I know the video wasn't great, but it was mostly, it's the fact that we did it over amateur radio that's more important, using Microtik hardware and thanks, Victor, for that. I'll show you one other thing here in the shack that we used. Using these little guys right here, putting those up on a couple of towers or just off the rail of the Royal Gorge Bridge, and made it work. So pretty cool that we can do that over amateur radio. And it's in the 5.8 gigahertz range, but it's actually set for amateur radio. So all of you microwave experts out there know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, let's move on to some questions. By the way, it was a very successful event. Lots of riders and 22 operators. Long, long day, but it was totally worthwhile. And that's what we're testing this out so we can do it for served agencies. Right now, if you could get this to work, not that it would work long range. It's not mesh network, those kind of things. But if you could get some video out of some places like Puerto Rico, it'd be worthwhile so they could see some of those shots. But all right, let's move on. W5ORT asks, and this is for you, George, are Smith charts the slide rule of impedance?
Are Smith charts, yeah, you could say that they were. I'd agree with that.
Okay. And Let's see. I had a. Oh, we did have this to say about Valerie and everyone that's going down to Puerto Rico. Val told us some a few more of the insights about it. These guys are only being allocated 2 bottles of water a day down there. That's how severe it is right now in Puerto Rico. So again, I know everyone else said kudos to Valerie and she's being a hero, but I say she's being more than that. She's being a Wonder Woman right now. So Val, I think you're doing an excellent job and kudos. All right. Here's a question, and Gordon, I'm going to send this one to you. Spike wants to know, he has an inactive repeater in his area, and he wants to know, how can he make it more active? What can he do to get on there to get some more hams up and going and talking on that repeater that's been inactive for years?
Well, that's a great question, Amanda, and it's one faced by hams all over the USA, and that is their repeaters have become inactive. I recommend get together with a local ham radio instructor and work with those students soon to have their amateur radio license. Likely the students have a $29.95 Amazon special dual band HT, which actually they're great HTs once they get programmed and have some programming done right there in the classroom, either when they are ready to take the test or right after the test session. Get them sequestered, bring their radios forward, and then they're going to have plenty of activity on that particular repeater. And speaking of Amanda, what we're doing here today, and I want you to take a look at this, Amanda, and I'm so proud that you and Jeff came up on 5.6 gigs. That is super. We're working ham radio emergency gear that is going to go into the islands, and these are marine VHF radios, and Dale will tell you that marine VHF plays an important part in contacting the Coast Guard and other rescue facilities. So, Amanda, yes, get those ham radio operators on that repeater in with their local instructors. Get those students on that Chinese radio that they probably bought ahead of time, and that's fine. No rule against it. Just don't transmit till the license arrives, and when they do transmit, they come up on you. Your inactive repeater that becomes now active.
I agree. Thank you, Gordo, for that. Well, a couple of other things. Who doesn't like to talk about the weather? If you're starting to get weather in your area and there's a repeater open, hey, you just come on and say, you know what? It's gushing down cats and dogs here. Or give your temperature report, things like that. A lot of people get interested in that and just kind of want to jump in and say, oh, yeah, you know, I noticed some rain down here too. Interesting, especially if you haven't seen rain or snow. The first snows, my gosh, you wouldn't believe what our repeaters do when we start to see our first snowflakes in the area. It's pretty crazy around here. Weather's a good one. Traffic reports also. If you're in a busy city, you hear here, let's say Denver, I-25 shut down from Colfax. People in the area are going to want to know that. They might not necessarily respond, but they're going to be listening. And I bet there's 40 times more lurkers out there than you expect. And a couple right. of them might actually jump in and talk to you. So you Absolutely. Never know what right, Gordo? You never know what you're going to hear on those repeaters or who's listening.
Yeah. I mean, when I left your convention last year, you and Jeff really treated me to a great convention. They were on the ham radio and they go, Gordo, we're going to take another way back down to Denver. Took me over to the Continental Divide. It was snowing like a mama, and I wanted to see the snow. And if it hadn't been for ham radio, we would have taken the tunnel. Over.
That's absolutely correct. Well, you guys, that's about all I have. I'll just announce the nets for tonight. We have 7192 for the 40-meter net. And I did not see if we're going to have a 20-meter net. I'm not sure if propagation's allowing it, but look around 14268 for that. 14 Charlie for the D-Star net. TAC 311 for the DMR net. And of course, don't forget, do drop in for the EchoLink net. That being said, I'll try to be on 40 meters tonight and also definitely D-Star and DMR. So you guys, that's all I've got. George, it's all back to you.
Okay, thanks for that, Amanda. And yeah, we want to wish Val and also our friend Andy Anderson, who you met here recently, that was doing all the dog rescues there. He has gone to Puerto Rico as well.
Wow.
And the Red Cross is going to be very fortunate to have those two coming there, because they're excellent, very experienced amateur radio operators that we're sure are going to make a difference. Well, before we go here, Gordo, have you got any final bits of wisdom to share with us tonight?
Nope. I just, as you do, George, wish those that are responding all the way from here to Puerto Rico the very best. I know that Angel Santana, one of the main voices of Puerto Rico ham radio, is waiting for the help. And we've got many Red Cross shelters that can really use their help. And as a 25-year veteran with the American Red Cross, I can tell you that they're going to much appreciate those ham radio operators.
Okay. Thanks, Gordo. And we'll be looking for you next week, and hopefully we'll have some information for you from that MFJ event Don and I will be at this weekend. Well, Dale, it was good to see you again this week. And, well, do you have any final words for us tonight?
Not a lot, George, but a couple of things. Looking forward to getting back playing around with the software-defined radio some more. And should send out kudos or congratulations to the Tapper organization, the Tucson Amateur Packet Radio Group, along with the ARRL, who put on a fantastic conference just the weekend before last. We were over in St. Louis for that outstanding event, and Sunday morning session was really good if you're interested in weather, because it was all about APRS and its history and how it came about. And we left about mid-morning to drive back to Wichita, but by golly, they were going to talk about ways to improve APRS. So kudos to Tapper and to the ARRL for a fantastic digital communication conference. With that, that's about it, George. Look forward to seeing you again one of these days down the road.
Okay, Dale. And yeah, TAPA is a great organization there. They do a lot of really neat things. And Amanda, when you showed us that camera a little earlier, I was sure you were going to tell us that you had put it at the repeater site. So you kind of surprised me there.
We have cameras at our repeater sites. We absolutely do. We love to see them because a lot of them are so high up, 10,000 feet and such. So always neat to see a different a weather arrangement than what you have down here at 5,300. I know that's so high up for most of you guys. One last thing. I can't believe I forgot this earlier. And if I had more of a Marilyn Monroe voice, I'd sing it to him like this. But happy birthday, Mr. Will Banks. Don, I don't know how old you turned a couple days ago. But happy birthday, Don, and you're so loved by us, and we appreciate everything you do here for Ham Nation.
All right. Thanks for being here tonight, everyone. We'll see you again next week. 7-3.